Hello friends and welcome to the latest edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast, soon to be award winning. I'm your host as ever, Mark Heath, and with me as ever is the Doctor, Steve Watson. Steve, how are you?
I'm fine, no music today.
No music, well, there was no win, was there? We'll get into that in a minute. And the reason this is a very special podcast today is because we have a very special guest. Alfred Hitchcock is off on his jollies, currently in Poland somewhere. Don't know what he's doing. Which means we've got a very special guest, and that man, editor of the Kings of Anglia, former editor of the Greening, which he barely ever mentions, coach of the year, 2009.
Eight.
Have I missed anything out?
No, you're doing quite a carry on.
General giant of the local sporting journalism scene, Mike Bacon. How are you?
Well, that's thank you very much.
I'll tell you what I have missed out.
What?
Host of the soon-to-be award-winning Non-League podcast.
Non-League podcast, yes.
Our sister podcast, if you like.
Had Alan Lee on there this week as well. He was good value.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for inviting me on this soon-to-be award-winning podcast, to be honest. I mean, I appreciate I'm only on here because Hutch is on holiday, but I mean, it's not the point, really.
No, we wanted you. And also, because me and Stu still don't know how to do a podcast in terms of the technical bit, and you do.
Well,
so
being a younger member of the group, I've obviously worked all this out. So,
Well, I think we needed to... the lads needed a bit of help, and we needed a bit of experience, didn't we? And competition for places, we welcome that.
Yeah.
Any other cliches I've missed there?
We just need someone who knows the league, don't we? Knows the level, step in and do a job, and that's exactly what Mike can do.
Lambo signed James Collins for a reason. You know, a bit of experience, a bit of know-how. You know, that's probably what you guys need right now. So
exactly.
I'm here.
And that's what you're going to bring today. Very much look forward to that. Thanks for joining us, Mike. Just a little introduction to this, Mike. I don't think you have done this podcast before, but not for a little while. So the way we do these things is I start off with a bit, well, it's general catch-up, which I like to call general banter, reporting for duty. Stewie hates general banter because he only likes talking about football and serious stuff.
Not true. I just don't like putting a label on it. I don't like it to say something funny now.
So, a bit, unfortunately for Stewie, it's actually the most popular bit of the show,
is
as we
it?
Found out from a Twitter vote last week. And we're saying, I love general banter.
I don't know if that was a conclusive
feedback. I think it was. It was a meaningful vote, Mike. Take my word for it. Stewie, what have you been up to since we last spoke? I know what you've been up to. You've been getting older. You've had a birthday.
I have had a birthday,
What did you do? How did you celebrate? Please tell us.
What did I do? Went out for a meal, all the usual birthday stuff.
What did you get? Did you get ladies' jeans?
No ladies' jeans, sadly, no. I didn't really put in a formal request for them, so... no jeans, no... it was all right, mate. Solid birthday.
Solid. Again, bringing Mike up to speed, ladies' jeans, Stu revealed, I think before Christmas, they accidentally wore a pair of his wife's jeans once and found them to be incredibly comfortable.
Well, that's quite nice to hear, Stu. That's quite... I will. I once wore a skirt.
Okay. Yeah,
but that's a different story.
What are we talking? Or?
No, it was a fancy dress party, and I went along as Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
With a little, to be fair, it's quite a long skirt because she
talk us through the entire outfit. Yeah. Then.
Well, it was like a little shirt, little blousy shirt,
right.
And I had a hat on and took an umbrella.
Nice.
And a long skirt.
That's nice.
Were you wearing tights as well? Or?
Yes, I was wearing. No, I wasn't wearing tights. No. Long socks.
Long socks.
But it was a raucous night.
Footwear. What are we talking?
Oh, I just had a pair of trainers on, I think. That's probably where it fell a bit there at that point. I was doing all right up to that point, but the trainers didn't.
Did you feel quite comfortable? Did you enjoy it a little bit?
Don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know the answer to that.
Did Tracy come home the following weekend and find you raiding her wardrobe?
Very much so.
Mike, what are you doing?
To be fair, you have got the legs for it.
I know.
I've got to say.
I do.
Powerful legs. Muscular.
Very kind of you to say so, and yes, that was... So I'm not surprised about the ladies' jeans, but obviously Stu didn't get a razor for his birthday, either, which...
I like the new...
James Collins look.
I like the new beard. He's better looking than James Collins. We've had this debate. He's much better looking than James Collins.
Again. It'll be gone soon.
Why? I like it.
You said that 2 weeks ago.
It works.
It's not.
Have you had your orders and the missus?
She's not a big fan of it, but I just need to be a little bit smarter this week.
Oh, of course you do, yeah. We probably can't talk about that, though, can we? Probably shouldn't talk about
that.
But you've got something big coming up
this week.
We've
got some nice stuff
Watch
in the
this
pipeline.
Space, listeners and readers of our websites. Mike, we go on with general banter. What have you been up to? What's going on in your life since we last spoke? You've got a soon-to-be superstar son playing for Leicester.
Yeah, my young son is enjoying fun at Leicester. He's joined Leicester this season. He's doing okay, but so he's enjoying his football. I'm watching him a bit. But this weekend, actually, he played away from home. They played at Rushall Olympic, so he went up on the coach. So I had a Saturday off, which was delightful. I decided not to do anything football-wise. I took the wife out for a spot of lunch. At King's Head in Woolbridge, very nice.
Nice, yeah.
Very nice indeed. Had a nice time there. We went for a walk, and my wife decided to go for a power walk around Woolbridge. Oh. I'm not joking. I was literally 10 yards behind her most of the way, and when I eventually caught up and swore a little bit, so what earth are we doing? Yeah. You know. Well, if you're going to go for a walk, you've got to do it properly. Well, I was knackered. I was getting quite knackered. I had a thick coat on and a thick hat, so I thought it was quite cold.
I can picture the scene. Yeah,
by the time I got to the end of it, a sweat was covered the top of my head, and then I'd take my jacket off. Ridiculous. So I was glad to get to the pub.
Excellent.
Had a nice time.
Excellent. I suppose we can't really put it off anymore.
Can we talk about your war wound quickly?
Oh, yes. You've got a nasty cut on your nose, Heath. What happened there?
Sparring, mate. Oh. Sparring Saturday. We had some fighters down from Centex Gym in Essex. Mm. Got a bit tasty, as it tends to do when you've got other gyms in. People kind of stepping up a notch. And I just caught a nice uppercut on the nose, which kind of landed there. But I reckon his elbow then landed on my nose, which has cut it. And I've ended up with a black eye as well. So
flooring?
Just double R, don't I? I didn't, mate. Unfortunately, that was the last round that I could take part in because I was bleeding everywhere after that. So I had to step away, get some Vaseline on and generally patch myself up. I quite like having a black eye, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, looks hard.
I've earned it.
That's true.
I've earned it. Mm. Obviously, I'm a footballer, I'd be out for 6 weeks. I'd be wearing one of those masks when I got back.
If you're a speedway rider, you'd be out for the next round.
Speedway
straight
rider.
Straight back out again.
Speedway rider, we've been straight back, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, moving on, the game. This is where it all goes downhill, Mike, when we start talking about football. Town, obviously. We started the last podcast with me singing and dancing and high-fiving because Town had actually won a game.
Mm.
We always said in that podcast it didn't really mean a lot unless they went to Blackburn and got something. And predictably, they got nothing. A big fat zero.
I did rule you in. That's why I turned the music down last week.
Yeah.
He was playing Celebrate Good Times, played the music, high-fives, and I said, calm down a little bit.
See what he said? Yeah.
Because they got battered by Rotherham. Yeah. Even in that game, second half, they got battered and they were a bit fortunate to win 1-0 against Rotherham, with the greatest respect. And we've been here before, we've had the false dawns, and unfortunately, Blackburn was like so many other games this season in that they didn't create enough, they weren't clinical enough, ultimately they conceded some sloppy goals, and it all adds up to another fairly comfortable away defeat. And there's been quite a few of those now. I didn't realise till I started looking back through the stats, that's 13 consecutive games that they've conceded at least twice away from home in the league. And they haven't scored away from home since the first few minutes of Lambert's reign when they drew at Reading. They were 2-0 up there within 11 minutes and they've not scored away from home since then. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist not scoring, conceding goals. That's why they are where they are.
And of the game Saturday, obviously, of the people in this room, you're the only one there, so I'm going to rely on you for for news on that point. I mean, it was 0-0 at half-time. You tweeted something to the effect of, you know, this game kind of is there, up in the air at the moment. And as we've seen so many times before, it wasn't Town that put their foot on the accelerator and got the victory. Was it deserved in the end for Blackburn?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And and not a huge amount in it. For an hour, Andy and I both looked at each other at the hour mark and said, there's a chance here, there's an opportunity, because Blackburn had been the better side, but marginally, they weren't anything special. They are what they are, a newly promoted side that are having a solid mid-table season under Mogger. But they played extra time in the FA Cup against Newcastle on Tuesday night. And the longer the game went on, you thought, you know, maybe that will play its part. And it wasn't to be. It was a penalty that changed the course of the game again. But, you know, when I look back at the 90 minutes as a whole, there's no doubting that Blackburn were the team that deserved to win it. They hit the post a couple of times. Ipswich didn't really lay a glove on them. They had one chance in the first half. The incident that Lambert talks about with Keane going round the goalkeeper, and perhaps he should have gone down and tried to win a penalty. But, overall... didn't really deserve anything from the game, I don't think.
Did anyone emerge from the game with any credit, player-wise?
I like Will Keane. I think of the new signings, I thought he built on his performance against Rotherham. You know, he looks strong, and I think probably something they've lacked since Daryl Murphy / Joe Garner is a striker who can defend from the front. He's got a bit of physicality, gets his head on defending corners, and... you know, as much as his defensive work as his attacking work, I was impressed with. Judge, you can see the flashes of quality there. You know, this is a player whose star was rising. He was on the verge of going to the Premier League before that leg break, and you could see bits and pieces of that.
Played him on the wing, didn't he?
Just not sure about him on the wing. You know, we'd spoken to him last week, and he was adamant that, well, the reason I've left Brentford is because they kept playing me on the wing, and I'm not a winger, and I'm a number 10. Mm. And it sounds almost like Lambert had persuaded him to come here on that basis, and he makes his debut out on the right. We're back to kind of crowbarring players into the team, you know, maybe trying to get your best, what he thinks is his best 11 on the pitch, and people being out of position. His best work came when he was drifting inside. His natural movement was to come inside off the flank, but you can see he's got that creative spark about him. And I think once he gets his sharpness back, he'll be a good signing.
Mm. Mike, turning to you, I would say you don't go to every game, but obviously you've watched quite a lot of the town this season. You're the Kings of Anglia magazine editor, which is one of the few bright spots of anything to do with town this season. What are your thoughts on the whole Ipswich Town scenario?
It's interesting what Stu was saying about, you know, after an hour on Saturday, there was not a lot in it. Well, not a lot in it, but a goal was always going to be so key. And obviously Town beat Rotherham the week before, scoring first and then hanging on. Fair to say, I think a lot of people thought Rotherham were pretty good second half. But it's getting that first goal and getting that confidence. And if Ipswich had scored the first goal at Blackburn, you just never know. They may well have been able to hang on for a while. But because Blackburn got it, you know, it's a huge confidence thing right now. Can Town, if Town go one down, are they going to get two goals? You know, that you can say what you like, but it does go through the team's thought process. If they go ahead, it's a different thing because you've got something to hang on to. And this is probably the trouble with Town too much. They're not scoring first. They're not getting ahead, you know, especially at this time. That's what they need to do. I mean, I think Stu's right. I think Alan, I think Lambert's made some good signings. I think Judge is a good signing. I think Collins is a good signing. You know, these players are going to be what Town need if they've got any hope at all, I think, of getting out of it. But it's difficult, isn't it? I speak to Alan Lee, as I said, on the non-league podcast, and he was saying that 11 points behind at the bottom there would be very, very difficult. So keep it to seven, and you've still got half a chance, more than half a chance, keep it to seven. I mean, it's not going to be easy. Town have only won three games all season. Something you have to win three to just get out of it, practically.
That's the thing yeah. for me. I mean, I did a piece in the paper today saying let's kind of make peace with the thought of going down now. You know, if it happens, it will be a nice surprise. But I think we've kind of got to prepare ourselves mentally for this because everyone gets all excited after the Rotherham game and then it's another sort of crushing low again after that. And you're right. People are going, well, it only takes 3 weekends, 2 couple of results to change things. But you're talking about a team that's won 3 games all season. The two of those wins have come 1-0 at home against Rotherham and Wigan in fairly edgy, nervy fashion. That's the crux of it. Can you see them? They need at least 6 wins, probably 7, from their final 18 games. The one saving grace is the teams above them are in equally poor form, I think, of all the seasons. It's a pretty poor bottom end of the league. I'm just looking back through the recent form of Bolton, Reading, Rotherham, Wigan. They haven't been doing a lot better than Ipswich, to be quite honest. So, you know, they've all stayed in touch, but we can't keep relying on everyone else to keep slipping up. Ipswich need to win games. And
The only benefit Ipswich have got, possibly, is the fact that they have now mixed it up with 6 new players. I think it's 6 come in or something. I mean, you know, incredible, really. What is the turnover of this team's players this season? Great, the roster must be turnover about 17 players.
12 under Lambert, crazy. 12 under Hurst, 6 under Lambert, several outs as well.
I mean, it's a huge turnover, but, you know, the thing they've got that may be a benefit is that they've got a new turnover now. So they're going at the last 80 games with almost 4 or 5 new players. It's almost like a new setup again, you know. And, you know, that's so, although, yes, they've only won three, they've only won three under players, a lot of players that are now not in that side. So they've got this new set of players, or a half new set of players. So that's the hope, isn't it? That's the hope that Judge can suddenly mix and magic up and Collins does keep it tight at the back and Keane can suddenly start scoring some goals. As Stewie said, he looked reasonably good at Blackburn. So
I think my concern there is it's going to take a little while, a few more games for them all to bed in and gel. They didn't quite look... They looked like a new team, not quite on the same wavelength last couple of games. The players they've signed, the reason they've got hold of them is because they're not playing at their former clubs. So they're all a little bit off the pace in terms of fitness, match sharpness. Mm. So it was always going to take a few games to get up to speed, and time is not a luxury they have, unfortunately.
Have we decided, the important question, of course, have we decided Will Keane? Is it a top knot or a man bun?
Good question. He's got the look of an Andy Carroll about him, I think. Both in the hair and his sort of size and his running style and everything.
It's a top knot, isn't it, I think?
Where do you
stand? My son's got one. He's got top knotish one in Australia. He's over there getting all night and a great time. And whenever I speak to him, I always tell him his hair cut, but he's got some sort of thing stuck up in his head. Yeah. Apparently it's a top knot, isn't it?
Are you a fan of top knots?
No,
I didn't think you would be for some reason. Mike, before we move on, you mentioned it there, Alan Lee, the podcast. Let's just have a little chat about that. It's good fun, isn't it? So Mike presents the Non-League podcast, which is recorded every Friday morning.
Yeah.
So out for you to consume on Friday afternoon and over the weekend. Basically, Mike Bacon and Carl Marston, two of our senior football writers here, very much entrenched in the Non-League game. And the idea is you basically have two or three guests a week. Is it two guests from the non-league?
Yeah, we get a couple of guests a week to come on, talk a bit of non-league. And, of course, non-league is, non-league's hugely popular. And a lot of Ipswich Town fans will identify with a bit of non-league. They know people who, there'll be people who, Ipswich Town fans who will perhaps go to the games and obviously support the team, but they'll know friends and family are out there playing that afternoon for Felixstowe or Stowmarket or Leiston or Needham or... And we get a couple of people in, chairman, players.
You've had Carlos Edwards in, of course.
Of course, we've had a couple of Ipswich Town players. We've had Carlos
Edwards. Alan Lee as well, you mentioned this week.
Alan Lee was in this week. He's out at Bury Town, helping out at Bury Town.
Yeah.
Ben Chenery's the manager. Alan Lee is helping out. Alan Lee works at Colford School and he's helping out. It was great to see him. And Carlos Edwards.
Yeah.
Well, he's ripping up at Woodbridge Town. I mean, he's
40 years of age and still playing.
Yeah. 40 years of age, centre midfield, still playing.
I love that bit, by the way, the insight with Carlos when you're talking to him about what it's like playing at non-league level, and he was sort of saying, obviously it's physical and that kind of stuff. And there was something, I can't remember exactly what he said, there's something you asked him about, does he mind being a target and getting kicked and stuff? And he was like, wow, it's part of the game. And he says, most of them try and get the ball off me. Most of them can't manage it. I just love that. You can imagine even now at 40 years old, he's just different gravy at that level.
But there's lots of professional footballers who, I mean, Alan Leafs, he very interestingly talked about Jack Lancaster.
Yeah.
Who went to Bury Town last season on loan for a month. Now, a lot of Ipswich Town fans, I'm sure they might know he went to Bury Town, but he went to Bury Town as someone they'd probably not heard of much of.
Mm.
He was an under-18 player. He was in their FA Youth Cup side, etc., etc. And he was doing okay, but he then went off to Bury Town. And it's a different level of football. And I don't mean level as in a poor level. It's not a poor level. It's a very good level of football. Mm. Non-league is a far better level than people know about. But it's a different atmosphere. And I think he got kicked about a bit, and etc. But Ben Chenery, who's the manager, and Alan Lee, was saying how wonderful he did. Well, he was there about a month, 6 weeks, scored lots of goals, came back to Ipswich Town, and within a month he's in the first team. Mm. He must have come back with something a little bit different. So,
a few bright spots from this season.
Well, exactly. Nice the connection, though, between Ipswich Town, non-league and stuff.
Absolutely. We'll give that a listen, as I say. Non-league podcast, search for it on your iTunes app or any other podcast provider. Comes out every Friday afternoon. Very much worth a listen. I listen to every single one. I haven't listened to the Alan Lee one yet, so I shall do that later on this week. But give that a listen. Alan Lee and Ben Chenery, wasn't it? The Bury Town.
Alan Lee and Ben Chenery. So if you click on, you can find more of them, yeah?
Yeah.
You'll find the Carlos Edwards one, which I think Ipswich Town fans will like to hear. He's a few things from him.
Very good listen. Chaps, boys, gentlemen, reasons to be positive. Unfortunately, the Blackburn result was not a reason to be positive, but it came at the end of what was quite a positive week, which would be good to reflect on now. First of all, we had Paul Lambert giving us a letter to the fans, which we'll talk about. Very positive. And then we had the news that Lambo is committed to the club from the end of this season, no matter what happens, come what may. League One, it looks fairly certain now. And also a ticketing news as well, wasn't there? Another cut price game, a derby game. So, Stu, let's just talk about last week pre-Blackburn and how positive that all was. How the letter came about for a start, because you were kind of instrumental in making that happen, weren't you?
How did the letter come about? Paul Lambert picked up the phone on Saturday night after the Rotherham win to the press officer and was just talking about, I think he was still on a high after the win, after the interaction with the North Stand. The atmosphere had been superb in that game, and just was saying, I need to do an interview about the fans again. Mm. This is not normal. I can't get my head around this. I think he is genuinely, if anyone thinks all of this is a PR stunt, he is genuinely blown away by how the fans have taken to him. I think he came here with a fair amount of trepidation about his Norwich background, and he cannot believe how much support and love he's getting from the fans. And so he said, "I, you know, I want to speak to the local media. I want to speak to the press boys." And you know, I think then they had a conversation and said, "Well, let's write an open letter, and you can hand it over to the local paper." And obviously, Andy then went in on Wednesday to collect that letter, which went down an absolute storm amongst the fans. And as you say, as a follow up to that, he's put a bit of pressure on Marcus to cut match day ticket prices. The Derby midweek game coming up will again be £12 for all adult tickets across the stadium. They've done that for the West Brom and the Rotherham games already, because he wants to get people in the ground and he wants to get the atmosphere going. And then, of course, the fans get on the coach for the Blackburn game early Saturday morning, get a letter from Lambert saying he's going to reimburse them for their travel costs. So it is genuine. I think he has been blown away by it. The biggest news for me was him committing his future come what may for next season, because if he hadn't, I'd be worried. I'd be looking at that squad saying, well, it's, you know, there's loads of contracts coming to an end, there's loads of loans coming to an end. Is he just going to walk away? Probably has got a relegation clause in that contract. I'm pretty certain of that. And you look at his history as a manager, you know, he enacted a clause of the same ilk at Blackburn to walk away from there. Stoke was less than a year. Wolves was less than a year. Norwich, he left under a bit of cloud to go to Villa. You start to think, well, if he walks away, then it could be a real mess. You're rebuilding the entire squad from scratch again. A new manager, I'd be really worried going into League One in those circumstances. But we know now he's going to stay. We know he's got history of getting Norwich back up from League One. And I think a lot of these signings are being made with one eye on League One next year. I can see a lot of these people staying on.
He's played an absolute blinder from a PR point of view. I know you say it's not just PR, but you could not play it better, I don't think, in the way he's built that relationship up with the fans. The complete opposite of what Mick McCarthy was like with the... I think someone suggested it would be nice to have an illustration of Mick kind of hammering a wedge between the club and the fans, and McCarthy, Lambert going back and sewing it back up. It's exactly what he's done. I love the coach thing at the weekend. That we work out about £2,000 that would have cost him to pay for those. That sort of thing you'd do, Mike, in cash.
I'd only pay cash, but yes, absolutely. You're right. No, I think you're absolutely right. It's tremendous stuff from Lambert, and I don't think it's a PR stunt in the slightest. I genuinely think but you see, Paul Lambert knows Ipswich Town. Paul Lambert played when Ipswich Town were still a decently sized club, and he doesn't have to go much. You don't have to go back too far in the history of when Lambert was playing. He knows the size of this club. He knows a damn good club, and Ipswich Town fans, all they ever wanted was to feel a connection to the club. That's all they wanted. They'll put up with defeats. They'll put up with losses. They'll put up with wins. They'll love the wins. All they've ever wanted is just to feel it's their bloody club, basically. Yeah. And it's a small town. Suffolk is not the biggest county in the country, but fans. Yeah, it's not just Suffolk, I know, but fans love their Ipswich Town, and they just want a connection. And what Mick did was just so sad. That's how I saw. What happened at Norwich City that day was just, to me, one of the lowest points I think I've ever seen, you know, between Ipswich Town manager and and Bobby Robson had some fallouts with Ipswich fans, don't fret yourself, and so once, you know, it hasn't been all, but that was just rubbish.
Yeah.
What Paul Lambert's done, literally, in the space of weeks, months, I think he's almost, he's single-handedly sort of pulled those fans who really had a gutful of the club, honestly, and back on side, which is what, and they're going to need everything right now. If they were to pull out of this, if they pull out of this, crikey, that would be some achievement, and the fans will have been right behind it all.
He's been very, very clever with this, because from day one, he's wanted to know, he's come in and said, he felt the atmosphere about the place, the disillusionment, the apathy. And he has wanted to know why. Why is this club in this position? And the amount of people that he's sought the opinion of is incredible. You know, the club legends, that's not just a one-off. We're talking about PR stunts again. That it could have been easy to call in Mills, Butcher, one quick picture, stick it on social media. But he's done that repeatedly. I tell you, I go up that training ground couple of times a week, and most of the time I'm up there, there's always somebody like Terry Butcher or George Burley or somebody knocking about the place. Lambert will come out the press conference and then I'll see him stood in the car park having a deep conversation with one of those guys. He's doing it because he wants to glean their knowledge. He's like a sponge. He's taking in everything, you know. And that's not just the legends. You know, he had a good chat with myself and Andy off the record when we first came in, wanted to see how we saw it from perhaps people that were a bit more detached and not inside. He's got the Blue Action fans groups in, speaking to various different members of staff in different things, and he just seems to get it. And there's that's not by fluke. He's done that by speaking to lots and lots of people.
And Mike, again, obviously you are by far the oldest in this room.
Well, clearly
you've been here the longest, and I mean that in the nicest possible sense. But you've seen a lot of managers come and go at town. How important for you is it that Paul Lambert has said he's going to be here come what may next season? It's vital, isn't it?
I think it's absolutely. Stuart touched on it. I mean, you know, you had Paul Hurst come in, everything, you know, throw everything up in the air, let it land. He's gone, and someone else has come in with some news. Some stability has got to be brought here. I mean, Ipswich did have that stability with McCarthy at least, but we all know how it went a bit sour. But yes, going if let's hope not, but if Town were to go into League One next season, I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm far, far happier knowing Paul Lambert is there, because he's already had 6-8 months to he knows what the club is all about, rather than Lambert turns around in May and says, well, I did my best, but we fell short. I'm off somewhere else. Then we go, well, who are you going for now? I mean, you know, your last thing, you want to start going further down the league, because trust me, League One, like I said, let's not make the bones about it. You know, Ipswich Town could well be in League One next year, and that isn't going to be a piece of piddle just to get out of. There's some tough, Town already lost to Accrington Stanley this season. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're not going to wander out of that, but at least with Paul Lambert at the helm, you've got someone who knows the players, and he knows what's going to take to go down there. I mean, hopefully they're still in the Championship, in which case, fine, build on that. But yeah, Paul Lambert staying is great news for Town fans, and they should really get behind the team. They have done for a long time now. And I admire a lot of Ipswich Town fans for the way they were treated, quite frankly, at the end of last season was disgusting. I'm not a huge Ipswich Town fan. I mean, we go and I like to see them do well, but I mean, some people, it's their passion. You know, they love going to support Ipswich Town. That's what they do. They think about it all week. They look forward to the game. And they love a connectivity. And hopefully they're starting to get that back. But whether it's too late for this season to stay up, well, we'll wait and see.
It would be, obviously, we keep saying it's the greatest single escape from relegation in Championship history. So, fingers crossed they can still do that. Stewie, tis the season to make transfers. Paul Lambert's already brought in 6 new players. We saw a couple of guys go out last week, actually. The strange case of Janoi Donatian going back. One of the most bizarre transfer sagas in Ipswich Town history. A guy comes in, has to be on loan, then the manager who brought him in goes. New manager comes in, gives the impression he doesn't really fancy him much. They have to buy him anyway for $750,000 because the deal's already been done. They get that deal done, and he goes straight back on loan to the club from whence he came.
That's mad, isn't it?
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Absolutely mad. One of the most bonkers. I've used a Mick phrase there, haven't I?
Bonkers, yeah. I mean,
bonkers transfer sagas in Ipswich Town history, I would have thought, what you've just described there. Yeah, I think there might be 1 or 2 more loans out the door as well, because that is a big old squad now. You know, you could almost put together a team of players that are sat in the stands now. And this comes back to a wider debate now. I see people looking at it at the weekend. Half of the team, effectively 5 of the starting team at Blackburn, were new signings. You've got not a single Hurst permanent signing in the starting lineup. You didn't have a single homegrown player in the starting lineup either. So 1 or 2 people saying, well, aren't we back to kind of sticking plasters and short-term deals and at the expense of developing our own players, or at the expense of developing these players from the lower leagues? It's a hard one, that. I think Lambert had to try something. And I still think some of the Hurst players will have a future at the club further down the line, but maybe for now, go out on loan, build your confidence back up again and come back, because there's a few players that will have been mentally scarred by the last few months, and maybe just getting them out the building for a few months might be the best thing.
How about further incomings? Are we expecting any more, or do you reckon he's done his business now?
I wouldn't rule it out, you know. I still think if the right players came along, and I'm saying players plural, that he still might add 1 or 2 more. I still think a right back will be on the agenda.
Josh Emmanuel, of course, came back. That's interesting.
Yeah, he's back. I think there's as much to do with him not being in the Shrewsbury team as Ipswich recalling him to suddenly play it. I could see him going out on another loan. Shrewsbury changed manager and he's fallen down the pecking order there. So yeah, definitely a right back. Obviously, Spence is out the team and went through a bit of a torrid spell. Pennington's in there at the moment. But they need a right back, both for the short term and the long term. I'd say a winger as well, possibly. Edwards massively off the ball. Lancaster's not going to play week in, week out. Judge played there at the weekend, but as touched upon earlier, that's not his position. Freddie keeps toiling away on the left. Mm. You know, we're back to square one with that, aren't we? Mm. Freddie, you know, he found his mojo again for a few weeks when Lambert first came in, but I have to say Saturday was like watching Freddie of last season, sort of huff and puff and head down and no real end product. So I think they need another winger as well.
Okay, time will tell. You know what time it is now, Stewie? You've got to do the honours because Hutchie's not around. This will be news to you, Mike, but Stewie, it's time for...
Mark's Big Question!
Question. Mike, what the hell was that?
This is a regular feature.
Oh, is it?
Every week, where because obviously it's relentlessly depressing talking about football every week with the way Town are playing, I ask a question of us all. So we all get to know each other a little bit better and the listeners do too. So because you're a guest this week...
It's not too personal, is it?
It is very personal, actually.
Jesus.
Pick a number, Michael Bacon, between 1 and 34.
Between 1 and 34?
Yeah, it's not a hard question.
12.
12. Have we done 12? Ah, here we go. 12. What is your favourite childhood toy?
Childhood toy?
Yeah.
Childhood-based, these questions, aren't they?
It's interesting.
I used to play Kaplunk. Do you remember what Kaplunk was?
I've no idea.
Well, Kaplunk was where you... Do you remember it, Steve?
You pull the little straws out.
You pull the straws out. You put the marbles... You put all the straws in and they sort of make a little, like a web, right? And then you drop all the little balls in, all right? You drop lots of little, what do you call them? Little glass balls type thing. They all drop in. And then you've got to pull a straw out and the balls have got... There's about, say, 20 balls in there, like little glass marbles type things. And as you put... And you must... Try and keep the balls in, and if one comes out, it plops down, and there's like four of you around the thing, and it drops into your little. Who's going to drop it?
You've never heard of Kaplunk?
I haven't.
Oh, no. Wonderful little game.
What was it like growing up in the 1800s?
That wasn't 1800s.
I jest, of course. So Kaplunk was your thing.
Well, I quite enjoyed Kaplunk.
Did you not have any teddy bears or anything like that?
No, I didn't have any teddy bears. No. My first football shirt was a Kevin Keegan number 7, Liverpool, I must be honest. Which, that's when we used to sew the badges on as well. My badge was sewed on by my mum, and the number 7 was sewed on by my mum. That was my first football shirt. I used to like play a lot of football, but no, Kaplunk was good.
Well, so you ordered the number and the letters? Well, you didn't, obviously there wasn't letters, number you just, what, it arrived separately?
It arrived separately, yeah, and you sewed it on.
So you bought the shirt?
You bought the shirt, it was just a red shirt. And then you bought the badge and the number 7.
Oh, so it wasn't like this before you could buy replica shirts then, was it? Is that?
Yeah. It was just a red football shirt. Yeah. And then I ordered a badge.
Or a my Liverpool, mum, a Liverpool, or,
Liverpool badge.
Badge,
yeah. And a number 7. Not I'm a Liverpool fan now, by the way, but I was then. Wow. And number 7, my mum's like, and it was heavy. Heavy. Like some of these things they play in today, like bits of, I don't know what they are, like tea towels.
Skin,
I
mean,
mine was, mine was like a jacket. Used to run around... With my number 7 Kevin Keegan top, I was sweating by 30
did
seconds.
Did you have the Keegan perm?
Yes, I did for
did
a little
you?
While.
Excellent.
Yeah, but a little bit. I was a little bit older then. Though.
There not must a, be pictures.
Not at the time. I didn't have the Keegan perm at the time because I went to the Chrissy Waddle stage as I got older.
The mullet.
Yeah, sort of the mullet. And then I had a little bit of a frizz as well.
Oh, the, what's it called? It's business at the front, party at the back.
Yeah,
that's okay.
The 80s was good for me. I enjoyed the 80s. That was,
yeah, we've heard a lot of your 80s stories.
Great,
we could
decade.
Do a whole new podcast, in fact, with Mike Bacon's the Tales from the 80s.
Yeah.
It'd be X-rated.
It would be, but it was good.
Explicit lyrics. Stewie, beat that, Kaplunk. Well, and a Kevin Keegan shirt. What did you have when you were a kid?
Child of the 90s, so mine was all Ghostbusters, Teenage Mutant, Ninja Turtles, all that stuff. But... probably my Super Nintendo.
Yes.
Remember getting that and being very excited. That was my childhood.
You're a Nintendo disciple as opposed to the Mega Drive.
Always Nintendo, yeah.
See,
Mario Kart, Donkey Kong, all of that.
I was the opposite. I was very much a Mega Drive man. Loved me some... was it Sonic the Hedgehog was the game, wasn't it, on the Mega
Mortal
Drive?
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Finish him.
Street Fighter, obviously. and
Space Invaders.
That's my era, is it? Yeah, Pac-Man. I used to love John Madden Football as well, which is a huge game from at the time. And now you look at it, and you can, if you had that on your phone, you'd be extremely annoyed by the quality of the graphics then. In terms of other things, what else did I have as a child? I had a, my favourite teddy was a red dog, which I had from day one, which is called Charlie Dog, still with me, head falling off. And it doesn't still sleep with me anymore, to give you that insight. But yeah, good times, good times. Stewie, your first football shirt was?
My first, well, I've revealed on here, I was an Everton fan growing up. And one of my first, it was like a, it was an away shirt, it was white and it had, like it was a very 90s shirt. It was
massive.
But it had like a speckly grey, very jazzy pattern all over it. When I used to like kits when they were a bit jazzy.
Yeah. Who would have been the player had you had the number on the back? Who would it have been at the time?
Would have been Big Dunk.
Of course.
Yeah, Big Dunk. Yeah.
He's a person who means most to you.
See, when I was a boy, we used to go out and play football on the recreation ground on a Sunday afternoon with our jumpers.
Jumpers for goalposts.
Jumpers for goalposts, heads and volleys, Wembley doubles.
Wonderful
time.
Until it got dark.
All these Xboxes and stuff today, they had too much time on them.
Exactly. That was good. I enjoyed that, chaps. A little insight there.
You got any more questions?
No, that's just one a week, old friend. But I'm going to bother Tracy now for pictures of you with your firm. Mailbag time.
And dressed as Mary Poppins.
Maybe the two combined. Mailbag time, gents. Let's zip through these. Ollie Magnus. Do you think Lambert is looking for a right back? Pennington okay against the long ball, but worry about him against a tricky winger as he essentially a centre back. We haven't had a decent right back since David Wright. What are you saying, Stu?
Yeah, I agree with all of that, really. Right-back's been an issue for years. We've had Chambers playing right-back for ages. Before that, Carlos Edwards under Jewell, I seem to remember, played right-back for a long time. The irony is Mick McCarthy came in and said, oh, it's not rocket science, it's round pegs, square holes. Or, you know, Carlos Edwards immediately got moved back forward to the wing. But they've never really addressed right-back for a long time now. So yeah, I think he'll be looking for a right back, definitely. Pennington, yeah, I share your thoughts. I really like Pennington. If I was picking a player of the year now for Ipswich, that would be a hard one to pick, but he would be probably the best of the bad bunch in terms of his consistency. Very good against Rotherham because he was able to tuck inside, almost become a third centre back and win all the aerial duels, but I'm not convinced he's a natural right back, no.
I think right backs are hugely important as well. I think we you know, it's one of those positions on the pitch that, or left back, you know, if you were ever in the school playground, if you're last one picked, you're going to play left back or right back. But look at Trent Alexander at Liverpool, look at Kyle Walker, look at Trippier. You know, these players are big players for their teams. I'm not saying you're going to get that type of level of play, but it doesn't matter. You can find a damn good right back who just plays right back, and that's his position. Not half a centre half and can play a bit in midfield and all this sort of stuff. Get a right back, I say.
I agree. You look at the teams that have come up from the Championship in recent years, Fulham, Huddersfield. When I think about those teams, they've always had really good fullbacks that provide in the attacking sense.
Mm. Jack's Larder, Mike. Jack is a regular contributor. He's our resident master chef. He's a chef. He gives us advice on all things culinary. And he wants to know, fittingly, Mike, if Paul Lambert was a dish, what dish would he be?
If Paul Lambert was a dish?
Don't say haggis, because that's too obvious. What dish would he be?
What dish would he be?
What are his qualities? He's kind of...
Well, I suppose he's a bit of a lasagna.
Is it? Okay.
He's got quite a bit of depth to him, I think.
Yes.
You know, well, I think a good lasagna has got a little bit all the way through it. You know, it's not just a little fluff on the top and all this sort of stuff. We have too many managers like that. I think there's a bit of depth to Lamb. I'm starting to warm to him a little bit. A nice slice of warm lasagna.
Yeah.
You know, with all them layers of pasta and meat. And these are Lambert's little different layers of player control, putting letters on the coach for the, you know, the supports going to Blackburn, you know.
Opposite of lasagna.
Speaking to Stewie and Andy.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Nice things like that.
There's many layers, is what you're saying.
Many layers
to him. Stewie, lasagna?
I can't top that.
Of course you can't. Of course you can't. Just move on.
Let's go back to a football question. Phil Carriage, back to Doctor. What has Kenlock done wrong not to get a run in the team? Elder appears to be the type of pointless loanee that Lambert was so critical of.
Yeah, I can see where people are coming from on that one. That's been a big debate from the weekend in terms of... Not only was there no Hurst signings in there, permanent signings. There was no homegrown players. And I think back to that Millwall game on New Year's Day, and that first 45 minutes. Did you go to that game, Mike?
Yes.
The Millwall game. The first 45 was so good, the football. And that team had Kenlock at left back, it had Downs, it had Bishop, it had Lancaster, it had Ellis Harrison up front, who I thought had a really good 45. And all of a sudden, just a fortnight on, they're all getting marginalised a little bit. And you could say, well, the writing was kind of on the wall after that day. Do you almost start accepting relegation and use these remaining games to develop that young side, to develop the Hurst players that you hope are going to come good over time? But I think he had to try something, Lambert. I think that would have been seen as no ambition. Evans would have got brickbats, or he's not given any signings. Lambert's not tried to do anything different. He had to try something different. I still think that a lot of these signings will end up staying, regardless of whether Ipswich go down. And Elder could well be one of them. You know, he was part of the Wigan team that won League One last year. And I don't think there's any coincidence that they've signed that type of player, because I think they see him as a very good League One left back. Kenlock never let the team down whenever I've seen him. But this is now the third manager that's not picked him regularly. So possibly we don't see them day in, day out. No. You know, I like Kenlock. I think he can be a good player, but
he possibly needs to go out on loan. Kenlock, he's a sort of classic, but I mean, I don't think they've got too many left backs, mind you. I don't know what Newton's situation is, but I mean, you know, I just think that Kenlock is, and fans again, you see, it's understandable, isn't it? Kenlock's a local player, come through academy, and then suddenly you just bring in a loanee at left back who gives away a penalty, and everyone really puts two and two together, and it's understandable to a point. I think Kenlock is a bit unlucky. I've never seen him have a rubbish game. I must be honest. I don't see him every week, but I haven't seen him.
But they needed another left back. If you've decided that Knudsen wants out, there's no point in playing him. You know, if he's going, you may as well try and develop something for next season. So be that Kenlock, be that Elder, and I think Elder could well be their starting left back next year. Apart from the goals, which sounds silly because the penalty was clumsy and he probably got caught out a little bit for the second. I thought he had a reasonable game. Actually, there's something about him. I think he'll be okay.
Okay, question from official friend of the show, Brian Wren. This sounds like a good one for you, Mike. He says the coach thing was a brilliant gesture from Paul Lambert. It's not about the money. Shouldn't we expect more of this type of connecting with the fans from players in the boardroom, not just from the manager? He associates this tweet with a picture. She says, try not to laugh, but this is funny. And he goes, Ipswich Town away travel bus. look on Twitter for Brian Wren if you want to see that. I'll just describe it for you. It's basically a six-seater coach. But yeah, good point from Brian. So he says it shouldn't just be about Lambert. We should be expecting more of this kind of connection, reigniting that connection between fans from the players and the boardroom as well. Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a huge part of what the club's all about. A lot of them players, of course, were still there in the Mick era. There's still a lot there who were there when Mick was there. And of course, I felt personally Mick tried to sort of create a little bit of them and us. And some of them players were in that situation with Mick, and would obviously have backed their manager. So it's up to them to sort of... They've got a different manager now, it's a different setup. I think overall the Town players are pretty good. I mean, I think they will make a great effort. I mean, Chambers particularly has had a very difficult time. I think he's sort of tried to be everything to everybody, you know, for many years now as the club captain. And he's still very popular among the fans. I mean, they're trying to do the right things. A bit more from Mark Zems would be nice, and I don't, you know, a bit more from the chief executive, whoever takes over from Milner, Leo Neal or something, whatever that's all about. But if they win football matches and keep up doing what they're doing now, they're going the right track.
Brian's actually just sent another tweet which says, Mike Bacon in the house. Yeah. That should jack up the 5-star ratings. Brian listens to the non-league podcast, by the way.
Brian.
I think he left you a review, in fact, on your non-league podcast, 5-star review. Wish Andy Warren happy vacation. I'm at peace with the doc. I assume that's you. He's an angry man no more. He says, hi Liz, that's my wife. And he puts hashtag 50-50 banter/football. So there you go, Stu.
Okay.
Another vote for the having fun as opposed to talking about depressing football. Stewie, football question. Fittingly, FPL Tractor. Interesting piece by Stuart/Steve yesterday. Does it follow that one or two of the bigger earners will be leaving over the next couple of weeks? Knudsen, Bart, Chalabar and Hughes, he says. I'm not sure about Chalabar being one of the biggest. I mean, obviously, he's on loan, so. Knudsen, we reckon's on his way, don't we?
Knudsen will be gone. He's going. Just a case of when, not if. It will be possibly towards the end of this month. Someone might think we'll all come in and grab him now to avoid the bun fight for him on a Bosman in the summer. Bigger earners to leave. If we're starting to talk about relegation to League One, all of the contracts, and this is across the Championship in general, as a matter of course, they're so detailed contracts, and they'll include relegation release clauses. Even the teams that are expect to be challenging for promotion will put them in to cover their backsides. And Ipswich, as I understand it, have got those in all their contracts, and they're significant drops as well. So I think they're well protected. I don't think that there's no real big financial millstones around their necks next year. Bart obviously signed a big deal off the back of the World Cup. He might be one that, you know, they might look to sell, especially as he's not playing at the moment. Emir Hughes will be on a reasonable wage, and he's contracted and had his injury problems, but you've got to get him fit first and foremost, hopefully, and get him back to the level that he was at. So I don't think there'll be a huge exodus in terms of needing to sell off players. The other ones are contracts, aren't they? Chambers is going to be very interesting. What they do with him, whether they take his option, whether they offer him a new deal. I think he'll stay.
Okay. Coming to the end now of Mailbag. A couple of quick ones to wrap it up with. One for you, Stewie, from our friend of the show, Daryl, the man who sent us all those crisps, brought us those crisps over from Jacksonville. He wants to know, does Steve Ski and Hutch, that's you and Andy, call MB, that's Mike, the big porker behind his back? Making reference there to your fondness for a big porker, and also Mike's bacon meaty nickname.
Well, I like to think they don't, but it wouldn't surprise me.
They speak
the
very
slightest.
Highly of you behind
it
your back.
It would not surprise me as they're trawling up the M1 to some game. As they were going up, heading up the M6 on Saturday to Villa, you watch them, the conversation will turn to me.
Yeah. I know, think, to be honest, of all the names they might call you, the big porker's probably one of the tamest.
Exactly. Andy will just look at Hutch will look at Steve and say something like, you know, what do you think of bacon then?
Yeah. Did you hear what that tosser said this week?
And Steve will look and just say, tosser.
Exactly.
And that'll be, and I know, my ears will be burning.
Don't flatter yourself, friends. Neither of your names come up in our journeys.
I'd just like to say for the record, Mike, I've got a great deal of respect for you.
Thank you much,
and I love working with you.
I do appreciate that.
And I might start calling you the big porker, actually. That's a good nickname.
Thanks very much for that, Daryl. More Chris, please, Daryl, when you're next coming over. And then finally, James Gulk, friend of the show. This is one for me, really, with Hutch not being around. Who's going to win this year's Super Bowl? And he says, from a friend of the show, James, as we know now, it's going to be the Los Angeles Rams and New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Obviously, the conference games were last night. And unfortunately, very boringly, I think New England Patriots are going to win again, despite the fact they're all filthy, dirty cheats. So that's going to be that. That's Mailbag for this week, gentlemen. Thanks very much for your time and efforts in answering these questions. Having said that, breaking news, Richard Tatterton... Was a Rotherham game a flash in the pan, and the Blackburn game a reality check on where we are as a club?
I don't know about flash in the pan. I think it was what it was in terms of a gritty, edgy 1-0 win against Rotherham. I don't think anyone was realistically getting too carried away. It eked out the hope a little bit, but that's just been these last two games have been a snapshot of the season, really. Never really quite able to build on things. So I guess in some ways it was a reality check because everyone was starting to, maybe there's a chance. The wins have come the way they've come and the defeats have been pretty comfortable. Yeah. So it is what it is.
Okay, let's start wrapping up. I can see we're coming up to 50 minutes. We're all very busy. Obviously Hutch is off, so we've got to do twice the work we have normally. Mike's got to process his podcast. Gentlemen, let's start wrapping this up then. So... any other business from either of you before I do the usual outro? Have you got anything else you want to discuss before we...
No, not really. I think Ipswich fans should remain as positive as they can.
Excellent.
In difficult times, I think Ipswich Town fans are genuinely wonderful set of fans. I've been following the club for many, many years. And I think Lambert has reignited a little bit of hope. A little bit of hope, even if it's if it might be a tad late. But we'll see. But certainly... who knows? Next season will be much different, I predict.
Excellent.
Wherever they are.
Stewie?
No other business.
It's what Stewie says every week. Fine. Mike, it's been an absolute delight having you with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
I'll say that just because you're the only one who can then process this and put it online.
Exactly.
I love having you on the podcast. Might even get rid of Hutch full time. Stewie, it's been same as ever, really, with you. You're my right-hand man, apart from in the office when you're my left-hand man.
The fun sponge.
The fun sponge, yeah. The serious Stewie, the doctor, Steve, all that sort of stuff. All that is left for me to say is if you have enjoyed this Ipswich Town theme nonsense, please do subscribe to on your various podcast providers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because it helps in our visibility. We haven't had one since in November, Stewie. The offer last week of a signed verdict from yourself was not enough of an incentive. So we need to come up with something else that we can give the people.
Cash,
yeah. Mike will give you 50 quid out of his own wallet if you leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, well, if you just leave your car outside, I'll put 50 quid on all your seats.
Yeah, and, there you go.
As you drive to an away game.
So get involved in that. Get involved in that. Listen to the non-league podcast with Mike Bacon and Carl Marston. Next one out this coming Friday, but listen to the Alan Lee and Ben Chenery one, and also follow us on social media, Kings of Anger on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, and we'll try and stay as positive and bring you as much fun as possible as Town plunge inevitably towards League One, it seems. It's been great having you with us. Mike, thanks very much. Say goodbye.
Goodbye and hurrah.
Stewie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Excellent. I've been Mark Heath. It's been great having you with us, and we'll speak to you again next week.